Blessed Sunday, welcome to church. Let me adjust a little. Today we'll be reading from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. This is part of Paul's letter to Titus, teaching him how to guide the believers in Crete on right living. Crete is an island of Greece. From the map, you can see that Paul went there during his trip to Rome. I'll be referring to the New Living Translation and the Passion Translation later, so let's read together. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. From the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Verse 13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Verse 14, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. We'll be starting on verse 11, followed by 13. Then we will move on to verse 12, 14, and 15. So keep your Bible open or your handphone on. In verse 11, our Heavenly Father sacrificed His Son Jesus, bringing salvation to us by dying for us on the cross. And this grace is Jesus. The Passion Translation expounded on this verse that this grace makes us worthy of God's love and acceptance. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor from God. Although this salvation is for everyone, but people can choose if they want to accept it. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, wrote that God loves us because of who God is, not because of who we are or what we have done. To many of us, we have this worldly idea that we must do something in order to be accepted, in order to be loved. I was counseling this young man. He used to attend church, but he stopped going as he feels that he's not worthy for God. He fell into temptation again and again, feeling more unworthy and dirty. He believed that God sees him only in his sin. He begins to develop anxiety, feel insecure, and avoided going near God. From today's scripture, did grace reach out to us first? Or was it our good deed that made us worthy of this grace? In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9, we were told that we are saved by grace. It is a gift from God and not a reward for the good things we have done. In the story of the prodigal son, the younger son asked his father for his share of the inheritance while the father was still alive. In the Asian culture, this is definitely a no-no. It is like cursing your dad or your father to die early. You try doing that and see what your father do to you. Probably disown you and kick you out of the house. When the son spent all his money, he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pig food. But he decided to go home to his father. Did the father reach out to the son first? Or did he wait for the son to repent and cry before forgiving him? In Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24, we were told while the son was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him, asked his servant to put on the best robe for him, put a ring on his finger, put sandal on his feet. And what did he do? He slaughtered a fattened calf to celebrate his return. Yes, the father reached out to the son despite his wrongdoing. This grace goes against human understanding of fairness, justice, societal norm, showing grace to the undeserved. This is our God. Verse 13 speaks of Jesus' second coming, appearing as the Savior in the glory of our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 9:28 tells us that he will come again, not to deal with our sin, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Because of Jesus, grace was brought to the world, and we have this wonderful hope of Jesus returning. All of us living in the time and space of his first appearance and second coming are not to sit around waiting for his return. We are to live in accordance with the teachings of verse 12, 14, and 15 with the consciousness of Christ's returns. This grace not only brought salvation, but also teaches us how to live right, live well, live happily. Verse 12 taught us to turn away from godless living and sinful pleasure. To live right, live well, live happily is to live in a self-controlled manner, practice righteousness, pursue holiness, be devoted to God while anticipating his second coming. We need to mold ourselves to be Christ-like, mindful of our behavior towards others, both Christians and non-Christians alike. Talking about our behavior towards others, I realize that we Christians sometimes show more grace to the non-Christians than fellow brothers and sisters. We have the tendency to be a little judgmental towards one another. And verse 14 spoke about Jesus dying for us on the cross to redeem us from our sin and made us his very own. We are to be like him with the passion to do good deeds. In the Greek translation on the first part of verse 14, we are a people encircled by God himself, just like a circle surrounds a dot. We belong to him by grace and are surrounded by his love. His grace does not stop at salvation, but accompanies us in our daily life, and he watches over us as we are his very own. Has anyone seen this new design of slipper? Guess what brand it is? Anyone? No? This is JOS, Jesus Our Savior brand. Anyone attending our church for the first time and has never heard of this brand? After service, you can talk to our brothers and sisters to understand a little bit more. This pair of slippers belonged to my son, Zephon. He was sitting here just a minute ago during worship. He was going up the escalator one day, and the sharp edges of the escalator sliced off the front of his slippers. The first thing that came to our mind was, are his feet okay? Are his toes intact? We have read in the newspaper that many children got their foot stuck on the escalator and they were quite seriously injured. You want to make a guess what happened to him? Just tell you what happened. While we were so worried, he was still laughing about it, but we praised the Lord. When we checked his feet, there was not a single scratch or any injury. And he was still like, okay, nothing. You know, the escalator got stuck, that's all. So what we felt was that probably he wore Jesus, our Savior, slipper. Sounds like advertisement, yeah? We gave thanks that Jesus watches over Zaphon and lifted his feet up at that moment to prevent him from being cut off by the sharp edges. He was indeed surrounded by the protection of God. So get yourself a pair of Jesus, our Savior, slipper, as this grace is free. While this grace is free for us, Jesus paid a heavy price to redeem us. He went through humiliation, pain, tortures, and heartaches. He suffered biological, physical, and psychological abuse. I would like all of us to connect to our five senses and emotion as I share what Jesus did for you and me. In the Bible, we read that people spat at Jesus, they slapped him, they punched him, they hit him on the head. How would you feel if someone spat right at your face? Not talking about COVID, yeah? Just spitting on your face. Slap you left and right, punch you, and hit you on your head, and you could not retaliate. Believe we will be angry, humiliated, and shamed. Can you imagine our Savior, who had no sin, had to suffer this humiliation just for you and me? The soldier whacked Jesus with a Roman flagrum, not the thin cane that your mother ran after you when you were young. Yeah? The leather strip was embedded with metal and sharp bone. Every stroke, the sharp metal and bone drove deep into Jesus' flesh and tore it apart. Though the Jewish practice is not more than 40 lashes, but I believe the Roman soldier probably did not follow the Jewish practice, but just whacked to their heart content. I can imagine Jesus clenching his fists, biting his teeth, enduring all this pain just for us. In April, we witnessed the coronation of King Charles of England. His crown was filled with precious stone. But Jesus' crown was made of local thorn bushes. The soldier did not place the crown on Jesus' head gently, like what they did for King Charles. They forced the crown of thorn into his head with a wooden pole. The thorn went deep into his head and inflicted more pain for Jesus. They made Jesus carry the cross full of splinters and paraded through the Via Dolorosa. The wooden cross was not smooth like your home wooden furniture, but full of big and small splinters. For us, a little splinter in our finger would give us so much pain. Imagine the splinter piercing into Jesus' sore back and shoulder, causing severe pain. Jesus also suffered the pain of being nailed through his wrists and his feet. When the cross was lifted up, the pull of gravity increased the pain at his nail-pierced hands and feet. Not only had he to fight the excruciating pain from the pull, the splinters from the wooden cross went deeper into his already sore and bloody body. When Jesus was thirsty and asked for a drink, someone dipped a sponge on a stick with wine vinegar and fed it to him. I shared this some years back at this service. Can anyone remember what is the sponge used for? Anyone? No? Okay, that was about 10 years ago, so some of you might have not remembered. It's okay. Just let me share again for all those who missed it. It's okay if you cannot remember. For the sponge on the stick was not for the soldier to wash their pots and pans. The wine vinegar was not for the soldiers to make salad at the Mount of Golgotha. During those times, there was no toilet paper. The Roman would use sponge on a stick, dip it in water, and wash their backside after they finished their big business. However, water could not fully cleanse the sponge, and they all developed skin diseases. After a while, they found out that wine vinegar helps to disinfect the sponge, and they stopped having skin disease after that. Take a look at these ancient Roman toilets. Some of you who have traveled to Italy could have seen this. Imagine when you ask for water, someone soak a used toilet paper with wine vinegar and feed it to you. I believe you'll be so disgusted and would never use vinegar in your salad again. Jesus went through yet another humiliation for us. In Matthew 26, Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray. He told his disciple, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." It must have pained him so much that he grieved to the point of death. Luke 22 recorded that he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. In today's medical term, this is called hematidrosis, a rare but very real medical condition that causes one sweat gland to contain blood. Our sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels that can constrict and then dilate to the point of rupture, causing blood to effuse into the sweat glands. Jesus was in extreme anguish that his blood vessel burst and blood flowed into his sweat glands. At the Last Supper, Peter told Jesus, "Even if everyone else leave you, I will not leave you." I believe he could have done this action. Peter also said, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." All the other disciples also vowed the same. But at Gethsemane, when the soldier arrested Jesus, all his disciples and followers abandoned him and ran away. One young man actually ran away naked so as not to be caught. In the end, we read that Peter did deny Jesus three times. How would you feel if your disciples who ate with you, slept with you, journeyed with you for 3 years abandoned you at such crucial moment? I believe you will feel sad, disappointed, helpless, and lonely. While Jesus was suffering, Our Heavenly Father was watching silently from above. Seeing his beloved son abused and tortured, God just needed to lift a finger and he could stop everything and change history. I believe he was biting his teeth, clenching his fists, with tears flowing down his cheek and a broken heart, just for the completion of this grace. As it was written in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Our Heavenly Father went through all these pains for you and me. At the end of verse 14, we were told to be totally committed to doing good deeds. Jubilee Church strength is in pulpit ministry and biblical study. We studied the book of Job last year and just completed Revelation. We shared gospel through Xingfu Xiaozu and other initiatives. But observe one area we can do a little bit more. Can anyone tell me where can we do a little bit more in Jubilee? It's in verse 14. We can do more in our commitment in doing good deeds. Jubilee Church operated an elderly home at Bukit Merah View, but ceased it in the early 80s. 30 years later, in 2010, we started our very own Jubilee Community Service, which many of you had participated. Yeah, from the photos, some of you have grown up, and some of you have grown younger, like me. To Jubilee Community Service, we launched the first community food distribution at Tiong Bahru in 2011 with our community partners. Today, it is a regular activity led by Tiong Bahru CC. I recall during one of the many food distribution at the rental blocks, my children were invited into the resident unit to play with their cat. After the event, they asked me, "Daddy, is this their house? How come there's no bedroom?" Well, for you, some of you who have visited this one-room rental flat, the size of the unit, maybe the size of your bedroom, is what they have. That is their dining room, their living room, their bedroom, their study room. I recall when I was working as a social worker, the children living in one of these rental flats were having cream crackers for lunch as there was no other food for them. We are eating less because we are on a diet to lose weight. These children from the lower socioeconomic status are eating little because they have no food. Talking about children, I was introduced to an orphanage in Batam this year, operating under the umbrella of Jerija, is in Indonesian, Battle Indonesia, translated as Indonesia Battle Church. Before I continue, I must declare that I have gotten consent to share the following pictures. The orphanage does not receive funding or assistance like the orphanages in Singapore. The person running the orphanage is the widow of the late founding pastor. She told me that operating the orphanage is a faith journey with lots of prayer, waiting upon the Lord to supply all their needs. They start the day with worship and prayer at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. In order not to disturb any neighbor, they have to be housed in an industrial estate. The lower level, just now you saw, was the church. The upper level is where the children reside. Some of the children living there are not orphaned, but their parents are so poor that they could not support them or send them to school. Due to limited resources, the children's meals are usually fried rice or noodles, as these are the cheapest to fill their stomach. Although the children attend English classes in school, only two are able to read and speak English. However, they could sing and worship God in English. When I heard them sing the worship song, Goodness of God, which we sang earlier, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good, my heart melted. Most of the children look malnourished. They have very little, but they are so full of joy and they praise God for the little they have. Every year, my wife and I would go for a couple trip to rekindle our marriage. Those of you who attended my marriage preparation class would know the importance. I hope you are doing it too. This year, we decided to channel the money meant for our trip to bless the children at the orphanage. We had the privilege to go shopping for the children's school shoe, cabinets for their clothing, and bless them with groceries. See the joy of the children showing off their shoes. When we got to know that a few of the children could not go to school because they have no sponsor for their school fees, we visited the school to understand their situation and sponsored them. These two children, you see, in the PPT, got to know that we sponsored their education. They gave my wife a big hug to say thank you. Aren't this photo very heartwarming? When you see the happy faces of these children, what do you see? By the way, the little girl in school uniform is my darling. No, my favorite. Yeah. To me, I see Jesus, not the orphans, not the widow. Jesus taught us that whatever we do for one of the least, we do it for him. He also told us it is more blessed to give than to receive. On my birthday morning, I received a big surprise blessing from Batam. Okay. Aren't these children wonderful? I felt so blessed. I was so rich and full in the Spirit. In verse 14, the words, totally committed to doing good deeds, was translated by the Chinese easy-to-read version as 热衷于行善. 热衷于行善 is not about putting your money into the a charity offering on the first week of every month. 热衷于行善 is not about donating your clothes just because you put on weight and you can no longer wear them. 热衷于行善 is about allocating some of your precious time, parting with your possessions, utilizing the skills God has blessed you with, and follow what Jesus did by serving the last, the lost, and the least. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude and love, and be transformed by his grace. Verse 15 told us to preach this truth and exhort others to follow them. We are to preach this grace, this undeserved, unmerited favor from God. In order to live right, live well, live happily, we are to remind and encourage one another to say no to ungodliness and indulgent lifestyle, be aware and mindful of our behavior, to show and practice grace daily, be committed in doing good deeds. In summary, we are to educate encourage, rebuke, but not to take a judgmental stance. It's not working. I need the next slide. Okay, thank you. As we put our words into action, it's not just mere words, and we end up no action, talk only. But by our daily living, putting our faith into actions, that's what Pastor Wei Kang taught us last year about living out our faith. You can review his sermon in our Jubilee Church archive. Many people like to give advice and comment. We like to play the role of a consultant. I have people telling me that I should do this and I should do that. When I ask for contribution and help, I receive dead silence or excuses. All words, but no action. Look at Jesus. He taught in words. He also demonstrated how to be a servant through his action. Let's remind one another that we should not just teach with words, but through our action like Jesus. Next slide, thank you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it reminded us that we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. As you leave church today, I hope you bring back three things. One, this grace, the undeserved, unmerited favor, was given to us freely, but Jesus suffered and died for us on the cross. To live right, live well, live happily, we have to live in accordance to the biblical teaching. Three, we are to preach this grace, encourage one another to live right, live well, and live happily. Let me end today's sermon with a prayer using the lyrics from the song Hosanna. The worship team, you may advance to the stage. May these words speak to us every day. May our Heavenly Father heal our hearts and make it clean. Open our eyes to the things unseen. Show us how to live like Jesus. Show us how to love like Jesus have loved us. Break our heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom cause. Amen.